Good morning, brothers and sisters. We thank God for the strength and the grace he has given to us to come this far. I pray that the Lord will continue to minister to our hearts and he will help us. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we bless your name for the help we have received. Thank you for the power of the resurrection. Thank you for counting us among the living on this resurrection morning. We pray that all the benefits, all the victories that accompany this power will be our portion in Jesus' name. But as we go through the pages of the scriptures, we ask for one thing, the grace to obey. And we know you will help us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Can I get an amen from you?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. So we have a message titled, Profiting by the Law, by the Principle of Sowing and Reaping. Profiting by the Law of Sowing and Reaping. Now turn with me to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. And we are considering the verses 5 and 6. Psalm 126, verse numbered 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Brothers and sisters, God is our example. And when he commands us to do anything, most of the times he shows us the way first. And on this subject matter, he has demonstrated to us and he has shown us the example as a father. You know, sowing time is not often the funniest of times. It's often not the easiest of times because it requires patience, it requires persistence, it requires hard work. And as we just read, they that sow in tears. In tears will eventually reap in joy. You know, God had to sow his only begotten son. He had to give to an undeserving, sinful world his only begotten son. And all of us are here today professing to be Christians because of that painful seed that the Lord had to sow. It wasn't easy because the loving father for that moment had to forsake his son, had to turn his eyes away for the world to subject him to that kind of treatment so that all of us will be the result of that difficult sowing. And Christ also made us understand that his death was difficult, but it was a necessary one. Let's read John chapter 12. John chapter 12, as we look at the verse number 23, John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If you have a corn, if you have wheat, if you have maize, any seed. If you so cherish that seed, that single seed, and you don't want to put it in the ground, it is going to remain single in your hands. But if you will put it to the ground, as Christ had to be sowed on the ground for us, so that all of us will come to that realization. In Proverbs, we are told that there is that that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that that gives and yet increaseth. And there is that that withholdeth, that keeps, that hoards more than is meet, more than is appropriate, more than is necessary, but eventually it tended to poverty. I pray the Lord will help us to scatter and increase. We will not hoard and be poor as a consequence of that. You know, now that God has shown us the example, what does he want us to do? In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17 to 19, Isaiah 48, 17 to 19, thus says the Lord, I'm not saying this, I'm not going to speak to you today, it is thus says the Lord speaking to you and me. And who is this person? What capacity does he have? Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, profiting by the law of sowing and reaping. I sowed and I profited from that. And I'm going to teach you how to profit. Will you obey? Will you allow him to hold your hands and teach you how to profit? Which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. We're talking about, you know, following Christ and bearing the cross, and wherever he leads, I go. I lead you by the way that you should go, not the way you will go. Train up a child in the way he should go. And the Lord is going to teach us the way we go. And he tells us in verse 18, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. I pray you will listen to the commandments of God today, because I'm not going to share an opinion with you. Then have thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Not only that, on top of that, you are also going to reap something else. Verse 19, thy children also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. We are going to spend this hour talking about money, talking about giving. And Haggai says something that strikes me. He says that, since my money is God's money, every spending decision I make is a spiritual decision. And if you don't get anything from this message and you are able to live with this alone, that should suffice. That anytime you are making a financial decision, it's a spiritual thing you are doing. That should be appreciated as such. Let's look at our first point of discussion, the timeless principles of sowing, reaping. Timeless, ageless, unending. It hasn't passed with the times. It is always true. Ancient words, ever true. It's a principle, it's a law. It can't pass with passing times. Exodus 22, our verse is 29. Exodus 22, the verse is 29. We are told, Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits, and of thy liquors, the firstborn of thy sons, shall thou give unto me. But who is speaking here? Is it Moses or who? If you know, can you unmute? Who is speaking?
God is talking.
God bless you. And he said, don't delay to offer the first ripe of your fruit. Does God eat oranges and cucumbers and all that? The first one of thy sons thou shalt give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thy oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it me. God, what are you going to do with sheep? Do you know oxen? How do I even carry it to heaven? Take it to my house. Take it to Moses. Take it to my servant, because that is what I have ordained. And remember, it is God first. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, whatsoever a woman soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary, be tired in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's a timeless principle that we reap what we sow. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Just go ahead and read for us if you cite it. Luke 6, verse 38. 6:38.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and the running over, shall men give into your bosom. For what the same measure that ye make without it shall be measured to you again. Amen.
God bless you, my sister. It's a principle, it's a law, and it is timeless. It doesn't pass with passing times. The Lord wants our soul to be guided by these timeless divine principles that you first give to God. And we saw that a while ago. You don't spend what you have and then you tell God, sorry, it is gone. Next time I will consider you. That's wrong. We give faithfully to God. Because 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells us that it is required in stewards that a man, a woman be found faithful. We are stewards, we are trustees of everything we have and own. And God is commanding us so to do. We also give fully to God what is his due. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. Please read for us if you've seen that. 14:22.
Praise God.
Deuteronomy 14:22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. Thou shalt truly fully, faithfully. And so if I earn 5,000 euros in the month, and I think that carrying 500 euros to God is unthinkable and unheard of, and I bring only 200 euros to God, that is not giving fully. How do we give? We give frequently also. I don't give quarterly, as and when I feel like I should give. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Go ahead, you have it, please read for us. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let everyone of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come.
God bless you, my sister. Upon the first day of the week, let everyone of you, without exception, lay by him so as God has prospered him. One may earn 1,000, one may earn 4,000, one may earn 3,000, one may even just earn 700. As God has prospered him, it's timeless, because in the wilderness, that same principle applied. As God has prospered. And you see, he said, upon the first day of the week, every week. It's not when I feel like every quarter, I can give something to God. We are in the fourth month of the year. The question is, have you given to God? Have you given your tithe this year? Or you have urgent projects to consider, so God should wait. Those of us who are faithfully doing so, keep doing so. However unreasonable it may sound to some people. We give frequently, we give cheerfully, we give willingly. And the principle is that we reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow. Remember, Christ had to die. That corn of grain, of wheat, had to go to the ground. And all of us here have been reaped as a result. We reap later than we sow. May not see the immediate result, but we reap later than we sow. And we need to be patient and wait for that. In Luke 16, verse 9 tells us, and I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, money here, that when you fail, when you are no more, when you die, that we are not going to be here forever. It's either rapture or death. That's how we'll go to heaven. When you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. When this life is over, how much investment have you made into the kingdom of God? To be received, so you will be received into the everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. The one who gets 100 euros and say, God, this is your part, I give to you. When that person earns 500, he will also remember God and give his deed to him. But the one who says, oh, but This one cannot even pay my cannot meet my expenses. How am I going to give this one? I will wait. I will wait. I will wait. When they get fat sums, they will continue to hold on to what belongs to God. He that is faithful in much, and he that is unjust in the least, is also unjust in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, you see the name the Lord gives to it, unrighteous money, resources, who shall commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? It's a timeless principle. And it stands in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's confirm some of the principles and laws we read about a while ago. Chapter 9 from verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 from verse 6. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. It's a principle, it's a law, and it's timeless. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. The world teaches us to keep hoarding and hoarding and hoarding. But the principle of the kingdom is different. When you have given to God, after God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, as the Lord commanded in the Old Testament, for the administration, for the giving, for the offering, for the tithe, for the income that comes in, the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Why, by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, not for your singleness, liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know, Robin Hill tells us that today Christians spend more money on dog food than on missions. Maybe you don't even have a dog. You say, this one doesn't apply to me. What are you spending God's money on? You are using God's money to throw birthday parties for infants, for toddlers who don't even know. And you say, I don't have to give to God. You are using God's money to subscribe to this and to buy to this and to buy that one. And you don't know that anytime we set out to go on missions, we spend not less than €1,000. we are going to this place, we are going to Tampere, we are going to Lawyer, we are going to this other place. How shall we go? On missions, when you fail in that everlasting habitation, how prepared are you to be there? May the Lord make us wise and obedient children. Now let's look at the tragedy and the penury. Penury, what's the meaning of that word? Poverty. From stinginess and rebellion to God's express command. Tragedy and penury. He said, well, I don't give, but I am not poor. You remember what Christ told the Laodicean church? You say, I am rich. I've increased in good. I don't need anything. I say, you are poor, spiritually poor. In that eternal, everlasting habitation, you are very poor there. The tragedy and penury from stinginess and rebellion. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We read from verse 10. Says, it's money they are talking about today. Money is in the Bible. It is part of the doctrines of God. And if we teach repentance, we teach salvation, we teach holiness, we are also teaching scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land he has given thee. It is God who gave you the land. Yeah, we always praise God for the food he has given us. We say the grace of our food. But when you have eaten and you are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. And listen to the warning and the caution in verse 11. Beware, thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statute which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and bought goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and your bank account is growing fat, and God's account is growing lean, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up. Pride set in. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness of your life, who a few years ago was just begging and praying, God, if you will only give me this scholarship, God, if you only give me this opportunity, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, which were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint? You couldn't have come out of that situation on your own. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end? And thou say in thy heart, I will not use my mouth to say it, but my heart I know. Anyway, you are just making noise. That's what you are saying in your heart. If I want to profit, I know, I just go and buy shares. I'll buy the stocks. When you fail, the stocks and the shares are crashing, even here, before even eternity comes. Thou say in thy heart, my power and might of my hand, my profile, my certifications, my qualifications, my connections, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember. Why do you forget so soon? Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. When you wake up in the morning and you are able to get up from your bed, it is power God has given to you to go and make wealth at your workplace. It is brain power God has given to you to use that intelligence and skill to make money. But thou shalt remember thy God, for it is he that giveth thee to, is it God who paid my school fees? Remember the Lord thy God who giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and worship them, you are worshiping the money. And you are spending them on things that are worthless and are of no value to the kingdom. That's idolatry. I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. I pray this will not be your Lord and my Lord. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you will not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Will you obey? If you will, can I get an amen from you? Say,
amen.
Amen.
And the Lord will bless obedience in Jesus' name.
Let's amen.
Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. The verse is 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor, the mayor of your city. That thing you are putting in the offering bag, that thing you are dropping in church account. And you know, you could have done better. And you decided to do it that way. And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Says the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God. You are going to pray today that God be gracious unto us, that this has been by your means. Will he regard your persons, says the Lord of hosts? Verse 12. But you have profaned it, in that ye say that the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye also said, behold, what a weariness is it. You have snapped at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn. You had something better, but you brought that which was torn. In fact, you broke the notes, the bill, the currency bill, the offering that was torn, because it would not be accepted anywhere. And the lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. And listen to God. Should I accept this of your hand? I'm not the one saying to you. Who is speaking? Says the Lord. Should I accept the lame, the sick, the torn from your hand? Says the Lord. And listen to the damning verdict in verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver. Remember the principle? Be not deceived, God cannot be mocked. But cursed be the deceiver which has a flock in his which has in his flock a male. He has something better, and voweth and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. Why? The Lord says, for I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. I deserve a better treat. If you will not give that to your child, why would you give that to me? I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi chapter 3. Said, that's Malachi, that dreaded Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3. You know, the people who argue against make all kinds of noises about tithe and offering. I have personally found that it's often very hypocritical. We don't need tithe today and all that. What I have observed is that those who cannot give God the 10% can hardly give him anything above that. They can hardly give to God anything above that. If they can't get to the floor, how can they get to the ceiling? And if you argue, it's no longer applicable. But they love Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. They are praying for this. Oh God, you did this for Hannah. You did it for Rebecca. You are the Lord, you change it. You change it not. That is verse 6. But from verse 7, the Lord says, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But he said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Oh, you believe verse 6 as an answer to your prayer, and you know God has not changed, but you don't believe verse 7 and 8 and 9? What a hypocrisy. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. And say, why am I returning? Will a man rob God? Will a woman rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Will an armed robber make it to heaven if he doesn't repent? Will an armed robber make it to heaven if he doesn't repent? I know your answer will be no. But if an armed robber who robs a man does not repent, will not make it to heaven, what will happen to a God robber? What will happen to a God robber? I will not be a God robber. And if you have been a God robber in the past, the Lord is giving you an opportunity. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have you? In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse. Ah, God, but has it gotten to that far? Yes. Ye are cursed with a curse. Why are you receiving the curse? For you have robbed me. Even this whole nation. Now, bring, you know, the command the Lord gave. The storehouse that he said they should take that into. Now, will God be there to receive it himself physically? So why is he so passionate and so concerned about this, that you are not obeying me, you are robbing me? Verse 13 to 15. Your words have been stout against me. You speak proudly. You say all kinds of things. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance on tithe and offering, and that we have walked monthly before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. We call the proud happy. We call the disobedient happy. We call the rebellious happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. That is the verdict. Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. We are going to read there from the verse numbered 2. Haggai 1 from verse 2. The Lord says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts." It's not me telling you, speaking to you. Saying, these people say, "The time is not come, that the time that the Lord's house should be built. It is time for my own project, but the time for God's house, the time to pay rent in God's house is not up. The time is not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built." Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, the question comes, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, in your well-decorated houses, and this house, this church, lie waste? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You have sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe ye, but there is no warmth. He that earneth wages and put it into a bag with holes. You earn wages, at the end of the year, a Pharaoh will tell you, you earn 40,000 this year. And so where did it go? He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. That says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. It's not negotiable. You can't put yourself first. Me first. Go up to the mountain, bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it." It's not any demon that did that. "I did blow upon it. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. But God, will you dwell in a house made with hands? My house is waste." He's not talking about heaven. "Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from the dew." All the prayers and the prayer requests the heaven over you is stayed from the dew. The earth is stayed from her fruit. "And I called for a drought upon the land." It is not Satan. "I called for drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands." God did that. You see the tragedy? You see the penury and the poverty emanating from the stinginess and open rebellion to God's command? Don't be misguided by the noises people make today. They say tithe is Jewish. Well, every good student of the Bible should know that it was Abraham who first gave tithe in Genesis 14. Jacob did in Genesis 28. So tithing then predates the Mosaic law. even before the Jews attained nationhood, it was still practiced at the time of Christ. He didn't condemn it. The references are there. We may not be able to read everything. Paul, the apostle who speaks to the Gentiles, re-echoed it. He made reference to it. We need to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, the Lord commanded that the tithe be brought to the house, so that there may be meat in my house. And then he said the Levites, they didn't have any inheritance. They should be given the tithes. And when they themselves received the tithe, they were also to tithe on the tithes they received. Nobody was exempted. Universal. Now let's read 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye, Corinthian church, my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. The people at Rome can be, Paul, you are not the one who said the Roman church. But for you, Corinthians, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Peter married, and Paul is saying, can't we also marry like Peter did? Or I only and Barnabas, have we no power to forbear, to stop working? We heard yesterday, Paul, you know, working with his. But we will look at this picture also. Who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? What kind of soldier buys his own uniform and buys his own gun and ammunition? Who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or says not the law the same also? The Jewish Mosaic law, people, it is passed. What kind of reference is Paul making here? Say I these things as a man, says not the law the same also? This is New Testament. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? Or said he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. But the fact that we have not used this power does not mean that we don't deserve this. But suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the holy things of the temple? Is it not what Paul is telling us here, what the Lord told, the Moses and those he was telling them to bring the tithes and offerings? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Verse 14, even so, has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel? In 2 Corinthians I want to know you are there. Please go ahead and read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7 to 9. 11, 7 to 9. Please go ahead and read for us. 11, 7 to 9.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the bread which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Amen.
God bless you, Pastor. He was telling the Corinthian church, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Before, I thought you were a tent maker. Yes, there came occasions where Paul needed this. And we need to have a fuller, comprehensive understanding. When I was present with you and wanted, I had a need. He had to come from Macedonia. And the Macedonian church was not the wealthiest of churches. And this was the church that was filled with tongues and all kinds of spiritual gifts. And you see the verdict. The tithe we are talking about, brothers and sisters, the tenth is the floor, it's not the ceiling. We give over and above that. God doesn't need us to give him our money, as we have seen all this while Rogers is telling us. He owns everything. Tithing is God's way to grow Christians. Let's look at the final point of discussion. The tested plenitude, abundance from sowing righteously. The tested plenitude from sowing righteously. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. We read the chapter 26 and the verse is 1. 26, 1. And two, and it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance and possesseth it and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. For what purpose? Verse 12 to 15. When thou hast made an end of tithing, all the tithe of thy increase the third year, which is the year of tithing thou, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy and be filled. I mean, there were several types of tithe. Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and I have also given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments, which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use. I haven't taken your tithe for any unclean use, nor given us thereof for the dead, but I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and I've done according to all that thou hast commanded me. And it is after that that you will pray verse 15 into your life. And we will pray verse 15 into our church. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless your people, Israel. The Lord will bless you. And the Lord will bless you because you will obey the Lord. Look down and bless your people, the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Proverbs chapter 3, the verse is 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thy of all thy increase. And when you do that, what should you expect? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. That is the plenitude we are talking about. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That is the express command of God. We go back to Malachi, we read early on, and read again verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And because I change not, what am I telling you? Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes, not some of them. Remember, fully, frequently, faithfully. Into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 16. Then they that fear the Lord, this morning, they that fear the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day that when they make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, then shall he return and descend between the righteous and the wicked, the obedient and disobedient, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Obedience will bring God's blessings. Obedience will bring God's blessings. When the people had taught that, it is not time to build the house of God, and they were going about their own business. And you know, their circumstances at the time, these were the returnees from exile. They were just coming from exile. They needed accommodation, they needed a place to settle and all that. But God said, hey, despite your peculiar, unique circumstances, you just can't put me somewhere. Haggai 2, verse 1, when they obeyed, in the seventh month, in the 120th year day of the Lord, came the word of the Lord by prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as of nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you. After they obeyed, I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remained among you. Fear ye not after the obedience, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. Amen. Says the Lord of hosts, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. It is not yours. It is not mine. We are just stewards. We are just custodians. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house, after obedience, shall be greater than that of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, after obedience, will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. That is the blessing. The Lord will open his bounty to you if you will obey. This obedience will be a mark of your appreciation for the power God gives you to make world. It will be a sign of your consecration, your acknowledgement of divine ownership, that God owns you and owns everything you have. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It is this obedience that is going to distinguish the faithful from the unfaithful stewards. That's all we have time for. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Profiting from the law of sowing and reaping. And the Lord says that I am the Lord that teacheth thee to profit, and he leads you. The word of God has come to you today. The principles are timeless. They haven't changed. The world has changed, but the scriptures remain the same. I am the Lord, I change not. My commands, my statutes about sowing and reaping remain the same. Give of your best to the master. Enough of the lame, the sick, the torn. Remember, we don't even only give our money, we give our time. We give our strength. We give our intellect. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Did you see the tragedy and the penury that came upon the stingy and the rebellious? Why don't you obey and receive the blessings God has in store? Say, I've been giving, but I don't see the blessings. It is He that gives you power to make wealth. Don't give in anticipation, give in appreciation. Don't give in anticipation of God's blessings, although He has said in His word, give in appreciation of God's blessings. That is the way, that is the command, that is the edict. Pastor, lead us to pray for the next 15 minutes. God bless you.
Brethren, we want to continue to pray. We've heard the word of God. We've been challenged. We've been reminded. And such a timely message in these days of greed, when people are only concerned about getting and making money, the challenge that comes to us, the Lord is reminding us there's something that you and I need to do. I want to pray that the Lord will teach us to profit. Let's open our mouths and pray that the Almighty God will help us. The world has influenced us so much that we feel that for us to prosper, we must be hoarding everything. And we're trying to keep and to keep and to keep and to accumulate. But the more we try to keep, the more we try to accumulate, the more the things are blown away. Let's pray that the Almighty God will teach us to profit this afternoon. That the word that He has spoken to us, profiting by the law of sowing and reaping. Pray that the Almighty God will touch your mind. Let there be a transformation of your mind. Let there be a renewing of your mind. You've heard so many stories by men who are covetous, telling us lies that you do not need to give now in the New Testament. All such lies are born out of the covetousness of the hearts of men. And that covetousness is covetous. You know, it spreads. As you are listening to a covetous man, you also become covetous. I want to pray that the Almighty God will teach us to profit this afternoon. That this way the Almighty God has spoken to us, pray that the word will take effect in your life. That this word that has come from the presence of the living God, the Almighty God himself will allow his word to take root in your heart. That the word of God will take root in your heart. The things that the Almighty God has spoken, that the word of God will come into your heart, teach you to profit, that there will be a reorientation, your mind will be transformed. You will
let's continue to call upon the name of the Lord as we fix that network issue, that this word of God we have heard will be doers. We have heard so many things, and the Lord is calling us today that he has given us the resources that we have. He wants us to be grateful to him. We'll give back what he's requesting from us. Let's pray. Lord, I will be obedient to your word. All the things flying around that is making our mind to shake and is confusing us about the standards and the stand of God regarding giving, regarding tithing, we put those things aside. Let's present ourselves before the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Lord, I will be obedient to your word. In the past, where we have failed in this aspect, in this area, it is time to tell God we are sorry. Brethren, pray and call upon the name of the Lord. The word is clear. The word is straight, is direct. And there is no confusion in the word of God. The Lord has told us today, he needs let's continue to pray. All my unfaithfulness in the past, have mercy upon me. Talk to the Lord. Where the Lord has been blessing you and you have not been faithful in paying your tithe, in paying your offering, may the Lord have mercy upon me. Let's continue to pray and tell the Lord, have mercy, all those aspects, all those areas in the past where we have failed in, tell the Lord to forgive you. It is sin, it is stealing. It is robbing God. Let's talk to the Lord. The time of this ignorance, God winked at, and now he has commanded all men to repent. Let's talk to the Lord. That his mercy will prevail. He will forgive in all those aspects and areas of unfaithfulness to him. In not paying our tithe, in not paying our offering, in not giving our resources to him. Tell the Lord to show mercy. Tell the Lord to have mercy. Make a commitment. Lord, I want to be faithful. Lord, I will be faithful. To this call, I will be faithful. To this directive, I will be faithful. To this command, pray and talk to the Lord. That henceforth, you will be faithful. That unfaithfulness has now become a thing of the past. We've been told what we sow is what we are going to reap. Tell the Lord all the negative sowing or lack of sowing at all in the past, sowing with murmuring, sowing with complaining. The Lord will forgive. The Lord will have mercy. From now on, we will do it joyfully. We will do it bountifully. We will do it heartily. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. And we've been told if we do it faithfully, the Lord will bless us. The Lord blessed Abraham. The Lord blessed David. The Lord has blessed so many people who are faithful in the past. It is time for him to also bless us. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. We will not miss this blessing that comes with giving. Pray and talk to the Lord. Tell the Lord, look at your life, look at yourself, look at how it has been for you, and present yourself before the Lord and tell the Lord. Pinpoint, pick out those areas of unfaithfulness as it relates to what the Lord has told us today, and tell the Lord, God, have mercy upon me. I'm going to turn a new leaf. Just put God to test. The Bible says, prove me now herewith, whether I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. God cannot be unfaithful to us. When we are faithful to him in giving, in paying our tithe, in obeying his commandment, he will be faithful to us. Let's pray. We've been told that those who find it difficult to give 10%, they cannot give beyond that. That is an embargo placed on themselves. Oh, I will not place an embargo on myself. You'll be paying 1%. What an embargo that is. 2%. 0.5. Or even 0%. Lord, I yank off the embargo. From henceforth, in the mighty name of Jesus, I will give. I will pay my tithes. I will support the work of God. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. All those embargo of non-payment, embargo of less payment, embargo of zero payment, embargo of 0.5, Lord, I remove it from my life. Let's present ourselves before the Lord, that the Lord will give us the heart of a cheerful giver. The Lord will give us the attitude of a cheerful giver. The Lord will give us the character of a cheerful giver. In the mighty name of Jesus, let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Tell the Lord, I will be faithful. Tell the Lord, I will be faithful. Tell the Lord, I will be faithful. And the Lord will give you that grace. Brethren, as you are faithful, the things that have been difficult for you, God Almighty will make them easy. The applications you've been trying, you've been making, you've been struggling, You've been trying, you've been doing so many things, the Lord will make them easy. Pray and talk to the Lord. I will be faithful. From now on, I will be faithful. I will be faithful. Pray and talk to the Lord. Tell the Lord, I will be faithful. I will be faithful. Starting from tithing to offering, to supporting the work of the Lord, to giving ourselves, to giving our resources. Oh Lord, I will be faithful. Pray and talk to the Lord. Brethren, pray with sincerity. Don't brush this under the bed, under the carpet, and say that it is not salvation. I don't have interest in this one. It is not holiness. I don't have interest in this one. It is not Holy Ghost baptism. I don't have interest in this one. It is not deliverance prayer. I don't have interest in this one. Brethren, the word of God even tells us that the heavens over some persons is already locked because of unfaithfulness in this aspect. That one prayer and fasting cannot solve that problem. Brethren, obedience is better than sacrifice. Pray and say, Lord, I will be obedient. I will be obedient. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Tell the Lord, I will be obedient. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. We want to pray and tell the Lord. Anybody who has incurred curse, whose heaven is locked, who is struggling because of unfaithfulness in this aspect that we've learned this morning. And now that person has repented and unanimously in unity together we have called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord has had mercy already. We want to pray. As we become faithful henceforth, the heaven over us will be open. Every curse is broken. The Lord will make life easy for us. There will be rest for everyone. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Pray for yourself. All the curses, all the negative things, all the block ways, all the unsuccessful application, all the unsuccessful attempt, all kinds of retrogression, stagnancy that have come on me because of unfaithfulness in the area of giving. Oh Lord God, from today, I will be faithful. Dear Lord God, remove those obstacles. Take off those curses. Remove, oh God, those embargoes. In the mighty name of Jesus, pray and call upon the name of the Lord. From henceforth, I will sow positively. I will sow cheerfully. I will sow sincerely. In the name of Jesus, let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. And the blessing of the Lord will come upon our lives. And the blessing of the Lord will come upon you. And the blessings of the Lord will come upon me. The blessings of the Lord will fill our homes. The blessings of the Lord will fill our families. The blessings of the Lord will be visible in our careers. The blessings of the Lord will be visible in our businesses. In every attempt, positive attempt that we make. In the mighty name of Jesus, the heaven over us will be open. As we are faithful, pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Begin to give with expectation. Don't give, you know, with that mindset of I'm losing this. No, we have been told it is sowing and you are going to reap. give with expectation, Lord, I'm giving to you. I know you are going to bless me. I'm giving to you. I know I am going to succeed. I'm giving to you. I know the heaven over me is open. I'm giving to you. I know blessings am I. I'm giving to you. Blessed shall be the fruit of my body, the increase of my car, the flock of my sheep. I am giving to you. I know prosperity is mine. I'm giving to you. I know growth is mine. I'm giving to you. I know I will move on. I will move forward. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. I am giving to you, oh God, success is mine henceforth in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Dear the Lord, begin to give now with expectation, with the sense of sowing, with the sense of giving to the Lord, and with the sense of the fact that God cannot be unfaithful to you as you give. Let's pray as the Galatian church give, we are going to be giving. And the Lord, as he blessed the Galatian church, the Lord will also bless us. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Dear Lord, we appreciate you. We thank you for reminding us, for awakening us, for letting us know that you have us in mind and that this important aspect, we must not leave it out. Lord, in the past, we have focused on very, very important things, but we have looked away from this other very important aspect. Oh God, and as a result of that, things has happened in our life that do not glorify you, Lord. We pray all this omission, we pray you forgive us in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as many who have called upon your name today also, and they have told you that they are sorry about the zero payment, about the 0.5 payment, about 1% payment, about less than 10% payments, about this kind of embargoes unconsciously placed on ourselves. Father, we ask for your mercy. Forgive, pardon, have mercy in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, we pray as we move on henceforth and we give our bodies and we give our services and we give our resources and we give our money, Lord, to serve you, to glorify you, Lord, the way you blessed Abraham, the way you blessed David, the way you blessed Solomon, the way you blessed the Galatian church, the way you blessed the early church. Oh, Lord God, even beyond that, bless us in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the heaven over us be open. Let curses be broken. Let embargo be removed. Let retrogression be a thing of the past. Let struggling cease. Let possibilities be our portion. Henceforth, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, make us cheerful givers. Make us happy givers. Make us, oh God, truthful and sincere givers. And as we do this, Lord, let your blessing be great in our midst, in our church, in our homes, in our families, in our careers, in the life of our children, and the life of those around us. In the name of Jesus, every tightness in our life, tightness in the pocket, tightness, struggling, oh God, let them cease in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For the pastor you have used for us, more of your grace, strength, wisdom, give unto him in Jesus' name. As we continue this program, let your presence continue with us. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Please, if you are there, kindly unmute your mic and say amen.
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 Praise the Lord, brethren. Sincerely, apologies for the unceremonious exit. I had some challenges with my internet, but I'm back now. And by the grace of God, we want to make progress.